is my prayer at this time that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, the hearing and understanding of those present would be acceptable in your sight now and forevermore. Amen. Well, over the last few weeks, we've been discussing some cliches that we hear in church, a lot of which we have discovered to, in fact, be cowploppy. And today, we've got another one, and I'm sure we've all heard this phrase, when God closes one door, he opens another. Have we all heard this phrase before somewhere? Okay, let's play a little game. Cowploppy or not cowploppy? Not? We have some votes for yes and some votes for no. It is? Are you just saying that because of the past few things we've done have been cowploppy? That's a good answer. We don't know. Kind of yes and kind of no. It's obviously not something that's in the Bible, even though maybe we think it is, but it's not there. Actually, the farthest back I've been able to actually trace this quote is to Alexander Graham Bell. Alexander Graham Bell made a quote very similar to this that seems to have somehow changed into what we have today. His quote was, when one door closes, another door opens, and we are so busy staring at the door that closed, we may never find the one that opened. Well, that makes sense. The problem with this quote for me, though, is that even though doors close in our lives, even though things change, it's not always God that's closing the door. However, he does lead us, and he does guide us. I think that's one of the things we need to keep in mind. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths." Well, that's true. If we seek to follow God, if we seek to do what he wants us to do, once we find out what that thing is, he will lead us. He will guide us. He'll show us that open door. It's kind of funny, though, because I did actually find in Scripture a story where very clearly God did close a door and open another. In Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 10, Paul and his companions traveled through the region of Phrygia. I love these names. Through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So Paul and his people are clearly stopped by God from going a certain way. God closed that door. But then he sent them somewhere else, because God definitely had a plan for them. As we know with the Apostle Paul, God's plans for him were big. We might not think in our lives that God has such big plans for us, but he has plans for us. And God's plans for us are important. Otherwise, he would not have planned them for us. We oftentimes think in our lives, well, what is it that I can do? What is it that I can do that matters? It might be something little, but it does matter, and it does change things. I know we had mentioned the prison ministry that I've been doing, and you know, a lot of people talk about, well, why does that matter? You know, I've had people tell me, you know, you're wasting your time in the prison because those people deserve to go to hell. Well, the fact is Jesus died for them, and they need to receive the gospel just the same way any of us needed to receive the gospel. And they need to be given hope. And it's very important that that hope is given, not only to them, but to anyone. Anyone we meet in our lives deserves to have hope. So what can we do? The things we do that we think are little things can mean a lot. The clothes that are given, for example, at the free market. It means a lot. Here we find out someone in that community with a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old, they didn't have shoes for their kids. One great example of receiving hope, I remember the first time I did the Kairos weekend. It's a 4-day retreat. We spend 4 days talking with these men, having little talks and conversations and things like that. And one of the things we do on late in the day Saturday, the men are given a packet of letters. And this is what I was talking about earlier about the letters. And that might not seem like a big deal that you just write somebody a letter. Well, for these guys, a lot of them don't get mail. A lot of them have been abandoned by their families. These guys don't have hope. Well, some of the things that come in these packets of not just letters, but there are pictures drawn by children. And I'll never forget. On Sunday, at the end, these men stand up and talk for a few minutes about what the weekend meant to them. And there was one man who stood up at the end and he said to me, well, he said to all of us, really, he had been in the system since he was 10 years old. He was almost 40, I think. He'd been in the system since he was 10 years old when he committed his first armed robbery. He held up a convenience store at 10 because his brothers told him to. But he spent years in juvenile detention, and he spent years in prison. And he said, you know, I'm scheduled to get out. My sentence is going to be up within the next few months. And my plan was to go to the nearest convenience store and hold it up so that I could come back here. Because he didn't have any hope. But he said that he was looking through the packet of letters and just kind of reading over the letters. And the one thing that really caught his attention was a drawing of a rainbow that a little kid had drawn, a rainbow. And it said on it, Jesus loves you and so do I. And he said he saw that drawing and he had hope. He changed his plans. When he got out, he decided he wanted to stay out. A drawing of a rainbow, a little thing. A little thing that God inspired a six-year-old girl named Ruby to draw may have saved that man's life. God guides us and leads us. We just need to be open to it. We need to look for that open door. In Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21, it says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. You see, the question is, are we really listening? Are we looking for where God wants us to go? He has something for each of us to do. And it may not seem important to us, but it is important to Him. Otherwise, He wouldn't ask us to do it. It may seem like nothing to us. Truth of the matter is, we might even miss it completely if we're not paying attention. The good news is we might do it without knowing. But it seems the kind of thing I'd like to know about. I'd like to know when I'm doing a good job. I'd like to know when I'm doing the right thing. In John chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. He's talking about us. You see, God's there to guide us. He's there to lead us. He's there to show us the way to go. And yeah, maybe He'll close a door and open another one. Because maybe there is a way for us to go. But to be honest with you, sometimes there's not a wrong choice. If we're given a choice, we can be given choices of things to do, and none of them is a wrong choice. In the grand scheme of things, excuse me, suppose we're given a choice of entrees for lunch, and maybe it doesn't matter if we have the chicken or the beef, but it might. We don't know everything that's going on around us. We like to think we do. You've probably heard of this big picture, that if we're standing so close, we can't really see everything. I remember when we were on our honeymoon, we went to Gettysburg, and there's a, I forget what it was called, there's a painting in Gettysburg it's in this round building, and the painting just goes all the way around. There's a name for it. It is a panorama. It's a panoramic view of the Gettysburg battlefield. It goes all the way around, and it's you can't possibly see the whole thing all at once. You can get close to it and see part of it, or you can stand back and you can see a lot of it. But it goes all the way around the room, and there's no way you can see the whole thing. And it's really detailed. It troubles me to think of how long it took whoever painted that to do it. But we don't know everything that's going on. You know, in our lives, we don't know everything that's going on. We don't know everything that's going on with the people we meet every day. We don't know if they're having a good day or a bad day until they tell us. And even then, they might not be telling us the truth, but we need to listen. And when one of those doors opens for us, perhaps an opportunity to talk with someone, perhaps an opportunity to share with them for a few minutes, that could make all the difference in their day, maybe in their lives. We don't know. Think about how long it takes for a, a six-year-old to draw a picture of a rainbow, and how big an impact that had. Some of these men carry these letters around with them. For some of them, it's like, you know, they've been there for years and they've never gotten mail and they don't expect ever to get mail. This is the only mail they'll ever have. Some of them read one letter, they'll take a letter out and they'll read it. That's their letter for the week. They'll carry it around with them. And when they need a moment of encouragement, they'll take that letter out and they'll read it real quickly. And how long it takes to do something like that. How long it takes to sit down with somebody and have a cup of coffee. The next day, you might not even remember that you had the coffee. You might not even remember the conversation you had with that person. But that conversation could stick with them for weeks. It could give them the encouragement to go on. It could help them to find the thing that gives them the strength to go on another day, another week, whatever. It takes practically no time. But when the door opens, we need to decide to go through it. Just like the Apostle Paul, when he was called in his dream by the man from Macedonia to go to Macedonia, they could very easily have said, no, we're going this way. We can't turn around. That probably would have been the wrong decision. But Paul was listening. He was paying attention to what was going on around him. He went where God called him to go. As we take the time in our lives to listen. As we take the time to look around and see where the doors are open and where the doors are closed. And as we take the time to decide whether we're going to go through the open doors or not, we need to be thinking and praying. We were talking about when the church started. I'll let you in on a little secret about when this church started. We were doing a Tuesday night service once a month here. And I remember that really didn't seem like enough to me. So I was talking to our senior pastor, Pastor Tom, you know, what else can I be doing? And he said to me, do they have a Sunday morning service there? I said, I don't think they do. He said, well, talk to whoever you have to talk to over at St. Barnabas and see if you can do a service on Sundays. So I called Pam and I said, can I do this? And she said, well, we're talking with somebody else right now about having that done here. I forget which church it was, but one of the big churches, they were talking about having somebody come in on Sunday mornings. And I said, well, if they decide not to do that, let me know. And I called her back a few weeks later and I said, are they doing that? And they said, well, the board of directors here decided, you know, that they don't want that church to come in and do services on Sunday. I said, oh, and I thought, well, I'm not going to get to do it. They're not letting the big kids come in and play. They're not going to let me in. And I said, well, ask them for me. Ask them for me anyway. She called me back about a week later, and she said, when do you want to start? And we're going on 4 years. 4 years. See, a door opened. God closed somebody else's door and opened mine. I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad for the opportunity to serve you. Well, God does close one door and open another sometimes. It's not always Him closing the doors. And sometimes there's more than one door that's open. I don't know if it's really cow ploppy or not, but maybe it's true. Maybe it is. Amen.
This program has been copyrighted under the Creative Commons Attributes Non-Commercial Share Alike License. For additional information about Faith Community Christian Church or to contact Pastor Colin, please visit our website at www.faithc3.org.
Well, the benediction is the good and final word, and we put that at the end so that you don't miss what came in front of it. Now, the cliches we've been talking about the past few weeks, they all seem to be the kind of things we say to someone when they're down. We use these phrases to try to comfort people. And if you look back in your own experience, maybe some of these phrases aren't really very comforting. So what I kind of want to leave you with today is a way to offer that comfort. When someone is in one of these periods in life where we, it might not be best to say to somebody, you know, when God closes one door, He opens another. They might not be ready to hear that. There's nothing wrong with finding this person who is in need of comfort, just giving them a hug and saying, what can I do for you? What can I do to help you? There's great comfort in that. This service is over. Your service must now begin. Go from this place seeking that open door and be blessed. Amen.